Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
Oh, it's so fun to be here. Excuse me bringing all my stuff up here. I've been renovating at our house, and so yesterday I was cleaning up all this dust. So excuse me if I've got a bit of an allergy or something dusty. Obviously, you shouldn't have tradespeople in the house. They're just so wonderful until they leave. And then there's all dust everywhere. Has everyone else found that? Well, I have the opportunity and privilege of working with Alpha. And Alpha is the part of the gospel that every part of the church agrees on. So we have about 2,600 churches around Australia that are engaged in helping people find out about faith. You know, in the census, 13 million people say that they're Christian. Isn't that great? Less than 2 million go to any kind of church community. About 1 million go to Mass every Sunday and about 1 million go to all the rest of the kind of churches. So we're on a journey to help the other 11 million people know what being a Christian is and exploring faith. Do you know that 70% of Australians pray? So you think about 7 out of 10 of your friends pray. Now, sometimes it's just when they're going to an accident and they go, God, help me. I had one of my friends talking about our house, and we had a guy who was helping us decorate our house, picking out a whole lot of stuff. And he and his male partner were working with us, and they were a little bit skeptical about how I as a minister would accept them. And so we've been on a journey of having a friendship. And one day he came to me and he said, you know, I used your name the other day. I said, oh, yes. He said, I called out, God and Melinda, help me. And I said, wow, how was that? He goes, it was really good. It worked well. I said, you know, that's so fantastic, Stuart. Now, let me tell you about a better name. And told him about the name of Jesus. Because I said, God listens to the name Melinda, but he acts on the name of Jesus. And so people are on a journey. Do you know that the average Australian, when they're surveyed, say that their number one way that they want to talk about faith issues is through having spiritual conversations. Now, you know, we have them all the time. We might talk about church, we might talk about God, we might talk about what the pastor said or should have said. We might talk about how great the youth pastor was last week, ripping it up, smashing it, tearing it down, all of those amazing things that I'm too old to do. And we might talk about that. But you know, the average Aussie, 49% of Australians say they never have a spiritual conversation. 49%. And that's their preferred method of finding out about God. And so Alpha is one of the ways that we can help engage people in spiritual conversation. Our research tells us that it used to take 4 to 6 connections before people came to know God. Now it's telling us that it takes 8 to 12 connections before people come to know God, because we don't all have the same background. Probably we didn't do RE in schools. Perhaps we didn't go to church because our parents said, we'll let them choose, you know, like we let them choose anything else. You know, we'll let them choose whether they go to school. I said to my daughter, she could choose after she did her master's. Goodness gracious, choose education. I don't think so. I'll give you an education and then you can choose how you use it. But what people do is with faith issues, they go, oh, let's let them choose. Like a 3-year-old knows how to choose. You don't let them choose their food. You don't let them choose when they walk across the road. Why would you let them choose about, anyway, it's a bit of a bandwagon, obviously. And so people haven't had an opportunity to know much about God or about faith issues. So what we say is every time we have a spiritual conversation, every time you invite someone along to church or along to a connect group, or every time you give them a book about God, you're moving them around the clock face of faith. So if you think about our clock, oh, how great to have clocks up the front. So you move them around the clock face of faith. So sometimes you might be talking to someone and you get disappointed that they don't come to church, or you get disappointed they don't necessarily pray with you right then. But you've just moved them around the clock face of faith. And that's a good thing, isn't it? So every time we do that, so maybe there's some people here today and you might need these books, so you might want to give them to someone else. Here's a book you might like called The Jesus Lifestyle. Do you want to just hand them out to someone who you've just started coming to church this year? Okay, so if you've just started coming to church this year, we want to give you a gift. What about if you just started coming to church in the last month? I'd like to give you this one. It's called The Questions of Life. What are the big questions of life? Nobody started coming to church in the last month, or you don't need a book. Well, then you just pick someone. What about this? Give this to someone who doesn't know everything about parenting. Go and pick someone. Go and give it to someone who doesn't know everything about parenting. And give this to someone who's been married more than 2 years. Can you find someone who's been married more than 2 years? That could be you guys. Did you just give it to your wife and say you need this? No. My husband and I just did a marriage course, and we've been married 29 years. And I was there with this group of young people, and we realised most of them hadn't been alive more than 29 years, you know. And one of the young couples said, "Oh, you're doing a marriage course?" And I said, "Oh, yes. The first 30 years are the hardest." they kind of looked at me like, "Oh." They'd been married, you know, less than a year, and thought it was all going to be easy, and it wasn't as easy as they thought it was going to be. Surprising, isn't it? So again, we get involved in marriage and parenting and all those sort of things as part of moving people around the clock face of faith. You know, sometimes what happens is we get disappointed when we do an invitation. You do an invitation to someone to come to church, invitation to come to Christmas, perhaps you give an invitation to come to a connect group, and we get disappointed when they say no. Our responsibility is the invitation. The Holy Spirit's responsibility is the acceptance. Because every time we invite someone, we're moving them round the clock face. So every time you invite, every time you talk about someone, every time you give them a book, every time you pray with them, you know, I just think it's so important to pray with people. I've been wanting to talk to some people in the Catholic Church. I was concerned about the fact there's 5 million people in Australia that say they're Catholic and less than 1 million go to Mass. So I said to our office, why don't you ring up every bishop, every archbishop, every cardinal, there's only one, and see if I can make an appointment to see them. And basically we had 100% non-success rate. So no one would see me. So eventually we went on the web and we found this person who ran a website on evangelization for the Catholic Church. And so she said, well, she would see me. And basically I had a coffee with her, you know, just sitting on a cafe one day. And at the end of it, I always say to people, wherever they are, can I pray with you? It doesn't hurt to pray with people. You know, we get so used to the presence of God, other people just get stunned by it. And most people assume that you mean go away and pray. They're wrong, but they assume that. So I said, can I pray with you? And she said, yes, here's one thing I want to pray for. So I just started praying there, kept my eyes open because I'm waiting for my coffee and I don't want to miss it. And also, you know, I've been praying before and people walk out. So if I keep my eyes open, I can see if they've gone. So I just prayed for her and I felt to pray for something else besides what she'd asked. And at the end of the prayer, she was crying. And I thought, I didn't think my prayer was that bad. And she said, why did you pray for that? And I said, well, I just believe God prompts you with things. So I never really understand why I pray for things. I just do. She goes, well, that's interesting. And she said, you know, I'm running a conference soon and I wonder if you'd like to come. I mean, you could be one of the speakers. And I'm like, great, love to. Don't know what the conference is, don't know where it is, but hey, I can speak. So she sent me a letter inviting me to be one of the keynote speakers at the Australian Bishops' Conference. I got to meet all of the bishops and archbishops now, and we're friends. Every time we pray for someone, we're just moving them around the clock face, you know. And sometimes we're worried about what the result will be. It's not my problem. I don't have to market God. That's God's problem. You know, I've never had a situation where I've prayed for someone and they said, oh, that was a bad prayer. Never. I've never prayed for someone and they said, oh, this didn't happen. It's amazing how often people, I always touch them because there's something about the power of touch, appropriate touch, okay? So on the between the shoulder and there, apparently that's safe except in India. I don't know why in India that's unacceptable, but everywhere, yeah, just touch them, just sort of casually. You know, you certainly don't do this. Push them over and spit on them. That's how to get kicked out of a cafe. Just put my hand on their shoulder, leave your eyes open, really short prayers. You know, I was doing this at the checkout the other day. Really good to keep it short because there was a whole queue behind us. And the girl had just said about how she's feeling unwell and I just felt prompted to pray. You know, it didn't reduce my bill. But I just said, oh, you know, I think God's good at helping people when they're sick. She goes, oh, that's good. I said, would you like me to pray for you? She goes, good, yeah, sure. Now, she didn't think I meant then. But if I go away, I'm going to forget, right? So I just leant over, patted her on the shoulder. You know, she was sort of a little awkward, but that's okay. What's she going to do? She's not going to see me again. I didn't go back to that supermarket for a while. Just said, God, I just ask that you touch her right now. I've never prayed for someone like that where there isn't some sort of tear or something in their eye. You know, they're not jumping around, leaping and praising God because they've been crippled. They're just amazed at the presence of God in their workplace. Mate, they're just amazed that God cares enough to come into the ordinary checkout. Everybody else behind me is amazed too. I felt like looking around and going, okay, who else? Who's next? But they were all like this. Everybody was looking around. No one made eye contact. it's not my responsibility to follow through. I don't have to do everything. I just have to do my little bit, right? Just my little bit. I want to talk today about the book of Joshua. I'm going to try and follow on from Pastor Phil. And then next week he's going to come and fix up all my mistakes. Is that okay? Bible says, let those who have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So today my prayer is that the Holy Spirit speaks to you. You know, if you look at your fingers today, have a look at your fingers. Yeah, aren't they good? They're not the hands of a worker out here, I tell you. Every one of those fingerprints is different. Every one. That's amazing, isn't it? How many different ways can swirls go? Quite a few. You know, the Holy Spirit, I think, has ADD. Because he likes to do things differently all the time. Every fingerprint is different. So he's able to come today and to speak to your individual situation right where you are. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly where you've been. And here's the most fun thing. He knows exactly where you're going. Because he's with you. So if you want to close your eyes, you don't have to, but it just kind of helps block out distraction. I'm going to pray. Father, today we thank you for the privilege of being in your house. Lord, thank you that your presence is here. Holy Spirit, we ask today that you will take the word and that you will custom tailor it to every person here. You know exactly where we are. You know exactly where we need to be. And Holy Spirit, we have ears today to hear what you would say to your church. Wherever we are, we pray today that your word will bring revelation, that it will bring inspiration, that there will be hope shed abroad in people's hearts, that there will be healing, that there will be reconciliation. Lord, today that as we listen to your word, that there will be things that are embedded in our heart that we're not even aware that we needed, but they will be seeds that are watered and that grow into an abundance of your provision and supply. We just pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen. I love the book of Joshua. I mean, you might never have read this book. You know, the Bible is 66 different books and you don't have to read them, you know, one at a time. You can just pick out one. You know, for those of you who like reading the last chapter in the book, that's so fun in the Bible because you can just pick a chapter and read it. But sometimes it's good to pick a book of the Bible and just sort of read it from cover to cover. And as Pastor Phil's doing this series, you might want to read the book of Joshua. Just make sure that he's on track. Make sure that what he's saying is okay. But also, you can read ahead. You can read ahead and see where he's going and see, okay, I didn't quite get that out of that passage. So we're going to look today at Joshua chapter 1. Now, as Pastor Phil said, he gave you the background on Moses. You know, I've known Phil and Natalie for a long time, since 1985. I think it was the first time I met Nat. She was obviously 3. And, you know, then later on sort of Phil appeared. You know, obviously he just, you know, thought Melbourne was so much better than Adelaide. And, you know, just the eastern suburbs. I think he heard the word Bayswater and thought that he'd be by the beach or something. Because that's where our church was, Bayswater, not exactly Bayviews. And so got to know them. They are just such great people. What you see is what you get. You may be visiting or this might be, you may be just starting to come to this church. I work with about 2,600 churches, so I see a lot of churches and I see a lot of senior church leaders. And I want to tell you, you have great leaders here, people of integrity, people of character, people that can be trusted. You know, that matters because when we're in the process of being made disciples, who we're following makes a big difference. And that's you're in a great place today. So Phil was talking about Moses and what had happened. So the book of Joshua is basically about this guy who 40 years before had got really excited about what he could do, and now it's 40 years later, and he's at the start of a brand new journey. I like Joshua because I think it's written to people 40 plus. Hey, if you're older than 40 today, some of you are like, I'm not sure I'm going to, come on, be proud, it's okay. No front row hands. Oh, good, thanks. people over 40. Because sometimes we think bold, courageous things are done by young people. Do you know what I love about the Bible? Is that there isn't any retirement. Caleb, who's 80 years old, says, I'm as strong now as I ever was. So our superannuation fund is called the Caleb Fund. Because we're going to say as we get older, we're just going to get stronger. You know, and it's about investing in the next season. So Joshua's 40 years old, over 40 years old, and he's at this season where he's about to go into his destiny. Now, Joshua's a bloke. He's a real man's man. He's one of those guys who was a warrior. So this is absolutely written to men. If you're a man today, put your hand up. It's written to you, okay? This is a grunting male sort of book. This is a Joshua, you know, he's the guy who's ready to go. There's 10 absolute cowards that don't want to go into this promised land, and there's two of them that go, hey, mate, those people, those giants are so big, we can't miss them. They just have this different attitude. They've got that warrior spirit. But that warrior spirit has been on a wilderness journey. And he's been to more funerals than anybody ever has. He spent 40 years watching everybody die out, waiting, 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 hoping that maybe God has something for him. And I love this book because it's about God has a plan and a purpose for us that is beyond what we expected. I'm the oldest child. Got any oldest kids here? Now, we all know that being the oldest is the hardest, right? We've got to break the parents in, you know. We're not allowed to do anything. It's all the younger kids that get to do everything, you know. And we get to put those siblings into line. Well, I had a younger brother who was 3 years younger than me. And up until I was about 7 or 8, I used to just, you know, bash him around. And then for some reason, he started doing kickboxing. Got a black belt in karate and, you know, things sort of changed. I remember one day about 7, we had this veranda at the back of our house, which looked really high. And I said to him, you know, well, I've got a good idea. Let's climb up the veranda and jump down. You know how you just sort of get bored? In those days, kids played in the backyard, back in the dark ages. And so I said, let's do that. And so there was a railing. And so we climbed up outside the railing, you know, just kind of climbed up. And you know when you get up to the top of things, it's a lot higher than when you were down the bottom. And so we're at the top there and he's going, this is really high. And I go, yeah, it'll be okay. We're just going to jump off together. And he was looking at me and I was scared, but I couldn't show it because, you know, I'm the big sister. So I've got to know everything. So I said to him, we're just going to jump off. So we put our foot out and we held on to the railing. Have you ever done that? You know, when you put your foot out, it's like, okay, put your foot back. Hold on to the railing, put your foot out. Put your foot back. And we did that for a little while. It was kind of fun. Trying to work out whether or not we're going to jump. And in the end I said to him, look, on the count of 3, we're just going to jump. All you do is you just take the second step and you let go of the railing. That sounds so simple, doesn't it? Just take the second step, let go of the railing. Not hard until you do it. So we were up there, and just to make sure that he let go of the railing, my arm was behind his head so that when I let go of the railing, I could help him take the second step. And we jumped off and, you know, he thought that he broke his arm. I don't think he did. When we went inside and he was whinging about his arm, he was sitting on the chair and I said to him again, you didn't break your arm, and slapped him across the head and he fell off the chair and we heard it crack. So... So it wasn't the balcony that broke his arm, it was the chair. Wimp. Joshua chapter 1, in case you were hoping that I'd have some Bible in here somewhere. Joshua's in this situation where he's about to enter in to what God has for him. And so it says, after the death of Moses, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over the Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I was giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all according to the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What a great promise. I've never seen an angel, but every time they appear in front of someone, the first thing they say is, fear not. And then they say, here's what God wants you to do. And it's often very scary. So here's Joshua about to embark on his future. And the first thing that the angel says to him, the first comes to him over four times, is be bold and very courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Now, this is a warrior. Why would he need to hear be strong and very courageous? He'd just been spending all this time being trained by Moses. He's seen amazing miracles. He knows that this is God's promises. Why does he need to be strong and very, very courageous? I want to talk about taking the next step. That being bold as a Christian is just taking the next step. So I looked up bold and it says, not hesitating or fearful in the face of actual or possible danger, but being courageous and daring. Here's Joshua, and he doesn't know what's ahead, but he's fairly sure it's not going to be easy. And yet here's God saying to him, just be strong and courageous. Another meaning of being bold is not hesitating to break the rules of propriety, to be forward, to be impudent. You know, bold, like, say, Nehemiah or Joseph or Paul or Peter in the Bible. To be bold is to be someone who has a courage and daring, who's challenging or having a bold adventure, like Joshua's going to be. To be bold is to push the limits of conventional thought. Einstein was a bold mathematician. He thought differently. He thought creatively. A person showing a willingness to step beyond or to step out. I don't know what your situation is, but I'm not a natural risk taker. You know, I've never jumped out of a plane. I'm one of those people that don't go on the scary rides. How many of the scary rides people? Right, good on you. You know, I keep out of your way so that those queues are shorter. About as scary as I get is the teacups or something like that. You know, I don't heli-ski. I haven't been involved in extreme sports. I've never been cliff climbing. I've been faithfully committed to one sexual partner for 29 years. I'm not someone who naturally takes risks. I haven't started my own business. I haven't stepped out in those kind of ways. And yet, I've travelled to war zones. I've been shot at. I've had several people try to kill me, literally. I've planted churches, met with underground church leaders, stepped down in faith to raise money, prophesied over politicians, not knowing whether they were Christians or not. That was fun. Remember this one guy in the Congo, and God spoke to me to pray for him and to prophesy over him, and I'm like, well, hey, there's 15 people with guns standing around him. What if I get it wrong? You know, I didn't, but that was good. Been involved in the casting out of demons, confronted lies and hypocrisy, been a truth teller. Bold Christianity and stepping out into what God has for you is not necessarily being a bold person. It's being a person who trusts what God has said. You see, we sometimes think as risk takers as being the people who naturally are like that. They just naturally like to heli-ski or they naturally jump off cliffs, as if anyone does that naturally. But God made us exactly as we are. He knows who we are. He knows where we are. He knows what we're doing. Oh, thank you. In this situation, Joshua has started off being bold and courageous, but it hasn't worked out for him. He stood up to the people and the people rejected him. And so now for 40 years, he's been wondering, did I say the wrong thing? Was this, am I going to be able to do this? Have you ever been in a situation where you stepped out and it hasn't worked? My husband texted me this morning and so I rang him. He's in Chicago working with a business over there. He goes five or six times a year. And this particular guy, John's on the board of different companies, just helping them grow their businesses. And this particular guy was sitting in church about probably over 30 years ago. And he had a word that he was going to have an idea that was going to make money. And he had this idea about getting rid of hospital needles. You know those hospital needles? Well, 30 years ago, no one really cared about getting rid of hospital needles. So he went all around the world trying to find out how to do it. He had a creative idea. He had a sort of science and engineering background. He had a creative idea, and so he built this machine that got rid of hospital needles. And basically, they've been having an Australian company, and they have, you know, just over 90% of the market now in those sort of yellow things, you know, those yellow containers that you see in places. And now they've relocated to the States, and they keep the Australian operation, but their American operation is growing hugely and just starting to take territory. And so they're getting together, and every board meeting they have, like their board meeting might go for 6 or 7 hours, and people fly in from around the world, they spend the first hour and a half in that board meeting praying and seeking God. Just saying, God, we need your creative ideas. We need to know what you want to do. You know, there's been many times we've had situations. One was we had a court case in the States. It was kind of going to be a big challenge. You know, he'd already had a court case here, took the ACCC to the High Court, which was a fun one, and went in America and had this court case. And we just said, okay, as a board and their partners, let's all just have 3 days of prayer and fasting. And let's believe God for breakthrough. You see, sometimes we think being strong and courageous is in physical activity. Being strong and courageous is in taking new territory, however that is, however that looks. So he just contacted me this morning and said that he's praying for us and believing God for us. See, he doesn't work in a church like I do. He works in the marketplace. But wherever we are, we need the supernatural power of God. And so Joshua now is thinking to himself as he looks in the mirror. I don't know if there was a mirror there. I've actually been to this part of Jordan. I've been up on that hill where you look over from Sinai. And it's not easy terrain. But he was there and he was thinking, I'm a bit older than I used to be. I know a lot more than I used to know. I'm a bit nervous about how this is going to look. I've learned a whole lot of lessons, none of which are going to be replicated in this new season. You see, as Joshua was going into the promised land, it was going to be a huge opportunity, but it was also a huge challenge. Up until now, their shoes and their clothes had never worn out. But now, they were going to wear out. Up until now, they'd got fed morning and night. Now, they were going to have to find their own food. It's really interesting that when God puts opportunities in front of us, they often look like incredible challenges. We count the cost of how hard it's going to be rather than, well, God, if you said it, I'm going to step out. You know what happens to us when we felt God prompt us to pray for someone in a checkout? We go, that's not God. What will that person think? What will the people behind me think? This isn't what I do. I'm not a person who does this. We have all of these fears. I haven't done this before. This is going to be difficult. What will people think? All of those sort of things. And into the midst of that environment, God says to Joshua 4 times, be strong and very courageous. Why? Because he needed to be. Being strong and very courageous didn't mean that what was going to be ahead was something he could handle. It wasn't. Being strong and courageous didn't mean that he knew everything that was ahead, because he didn't. Being strong and very courageous didn't mean that he was physically able to do it, because he wasn't. Being strong and very courageous didn't mean that it was going to be easy. You know, sometimes people say, oh, well, you know, I just don't want to come to God. I don't want to be a Christian because it's a crutch. You know, it's just an easy life. I just laugh at that. I say, well, you've never tried it. It's not an easy life. It's a very challenging, frustrating life. You know, it's really interesting when I do marriage counseling with people and they come to you and they go, oh, yes, you know, we're getting married. And, you know, you go, okay, great. So sometimes people in married life have challenges. And they normally say, oh, no, we're not going to have any challenges. We're in love. Oh, okay. Yay. Well, you know, the two challenges that often come up in a marriage are sex and money. They just say, oh, no, no, no. We're not going to have any money problems because we don't have any money. No, that won't create any problems for you at all. And, you know, sex, we're not going to have any problems with sex. That's just going to be fun. And you go, okay. Here's people embarking on a new adventure of which they're unprepared, ill-equipped and have no idea. And isn't that a good thing? Because if they did, they might second-guess themselves. If they did, they might be afraid. Because ultimately, marriage is the second step. The first step is committing to go out with someone. But then once you're married, there's this step into the unknown. There's a letting go of the past and embracing of the future. And you don't have all the guarantees. You can try it. It took me 3 months to negotiate our engagement. John proposed. 3 months later, we got engaged. Because I said, well, what if this? And what if that? You know, he'd never done the dishes in his life, ever. You know, he'd never made his bed. He got out of bed and just threw his clothes down where they were. He went out to his breakfast and the cereal was in the bowl and he sometimes had to put the milk in. The toast would appear and his role was to put the Vegemite on it. That was what he did. And I looked at his life and I thought, that's not going to be your future, buddy. What is not what's going to be. We started to discuss that the future would be different. And ultimately he can make all these promises like, oh, wash the dishes. he never had before, but he was just going to suddenly wash it. And he was going to discover what laundry baskets were for. And he made all these promises. But ultimately the step of faith is, do I trust him? Do I trust him? It was really interesting at one of our wedding anniversaries, maybe it was 25 or whatever, did a scrapbook, said thank you for keeping your promises, and had all of the ways that he had kept his promises. Fantastic. But you see, I wouldn't know that he would keep his promises until I took the step of faith to trust him. I didn't know what he was capable of until I took the second step. Here's Joshua, and they're saying to him, be strong and of good courage. And it's like there's reasons you have to be strong and very courageous for your own sake. Hey, Joshua, be strong and courageous because there's much land for you to possess. Be strong and courageous for the people's sake because you're going to take them places they've never been. Be strong and of good courage for those that come behind's sake because this is what's been prophesied. And now we're walking into a new history. Be strong and very courageous for I am with you. Bottom line, that was the only way he was going to be able to strong and courageous, for God was with him. And you might think, why did he need to know that? He needed to know that because when he went down to the banks of the Jordan, it was in flood. And he said to the people, guess what? We're going to go across the Jordan. And they looked at him and he didn't have a stick. And everybody knew that it was sticks that made seas part. And he didn't have a stick. And he was taking them down and they're going, where's the stick? And he's going, I haven't got one. How are we going to cross the Jordan? We're going to cross the Jordan. How? We're going to cross it. Well, how are we going to do that? Well, we're going to get the band and we're going to put the ark on their shoulders and we're going to let them step out first. Yeah? Everybody left the creative team. All those people that were aspiring to be in the band suddenly backed off. So here are these guys carrying the presence of God and they're standing on the banks of the Jordan. And I imagine, because I have that kind of, that they put one foot out and they put one foot back. Because the first step, it's okay to take the first step, have you noticed that? It's just like, oh, it's going to be okay. Why? Because I've still got a foot on firm ground. I can take the first step because I've still got something to hold on to. I can take the first step because I can still go back. The challenging bit is the second step. Because the second step lets go of the past and steps into an unknown future. The second step enables you to be fully committed. The second step means that there's no going back easily. I'm moving forward no matter what. I'm committing to what God's purposes are. And that's not easy. And the interesting thing is that God's plan for us is custom made for each one. See, what Moses had done, Joshua didn't do. There were the same principles, but there were different methods of putting that into practice. You know what's interesting is that when we're younger, we try, you know, we see what God does in our life and we're really excited. And it looked back and we go, wow, that was easy to have faith. Remember when we were first married, we were on our way to that church at Eastside in Bayswater and we were driving along and, you know, we were just first married and, you know, all the stuff. When we first married, we, you know, we had sheets up at the windows and we didn't have carpet and just all the stuff we didn't have. We hadn't afforded to get our wedding photos back because we couldn't afford it. And John had got up that early and he went to his work and he got a checkbook. That's how long ago it was. And he said, you know what, this is the church we're going to go to. We're going to give our tithe. And John and I had tithed all our lives. You know, we just believe that what you do is you give to God first. And that's it's like tax, if you like, but much better return. Because, you know, it's not the politicians managing the money, it's God. A lot more trust in him. So we give this, and John wrote this check, and it was $1,000. $1,000. And he said, we're just going to pray over this, and we're going to give it. Okay. Now, I could think of all the things we were going to do with that $1,000. Like, lots and lots of things we could do with that $1,000. And then John said this really stupid, frustrating thing. He said, and we're going to give it joyfully. I said, we're going to be here at the side of the road a long time if I have to be joyful. Because I'm not joyful. So we just went there and we dedicated this money to God. And we said, oh, God, we're giving you this $1,000. It's a lot of money. You know that we could use it much more than you. We're very happy. Well, John's very happy and I'm trying. And we gave this $1,000. And we didn't, you know, God had shown himself faithful to us before. We didn't need this. But it's amazing how gracious the Lord is. That the next day, John had an unexpected board meeting at the company that he was working for. And they had an unexpected board meeting because they were going to do some stuff. And he rang me up in the middle of the day and he goes, you know what, we just had an unexpected board meeting. I said, oh, that doesn't sound good. He said, oh, yeah, there were some issues we need to sort out. But he said, we also got a pay rise. The pay rise? Now I'm interested. Like, I don't really care about all that other boring stuff. And he said, yeah, they gave me a pay rise today and it's $10,000. Unexpected pay rise. Very appreciated pay rise. I didn't need that to prove that God was in charge, but boy, it was nice. It was wonderful. Now, there's been lots of situations since then. You know, I look back on that and say, God, I'd happily give you just $1,000. I remember when John came back and said, you know, we're going to believe God to one day give $1,000,000. I'm like, oh, it can't be God. It's got to be you. I remember another time when he came and said, you know, I think God's spoken to me about giving away my whole income for a year. I said, that wasn't God. That was the devil. Another time when he, you know, I could give you lots of those occasions where being strong and courageous is in situations where we've never been before. It's stepping out. Because what happens is we look back and go, I wish I could just keep repeating that. But we don't. God takes us into new territory. We're talking about Joshua because as a church and so as individuals, you're at the beginning of new seasons in your life. That God's taking you into new territory and you're going, but I haven't been here before. Yep. I don't know how this is going to look. Yep. I'm a bit afraid because I don't understand everything. Yep, yep, yep. Do you know God's ways are higher than our ways? It doesn't mean they're illogical. It just means they're beyond our capacity to understand. Remember this one young friend of mine, really lovely young guy who was in our church, and he took us out to lunch for some reason, and he said, oh, I just want to let you know I finished my doctorate. And I went, oh, that's really cool. Like, I think it's really cool for people to have doctorates. And he goes, and, you know, I've got a copy of it here. Oh, great. And he said, you know, it was a doctorate in physics. Physics. I walked past the physics lab when I was at school, fast. Like, I didn't, never went in. So he gives me this, you know, book with all of his physics dissertation in it. And I went, oh, that's very nice. That looks really good. Lovely cover. And gave it back. He said, are you going to open it? Well, I wasn't planning to, but okay. So I got it and I flipped through the contents. Very nice typeface. Good margins. Didn't have a clue about any of it. It didn't mean that it was wrong. It just meant that it was beyond my experience and education. Okay, it wasn't a lie. I'm pretty sure it was true because he passed. He's got his doctorate and he's studying, you know, things that fly around the air. teaching at Canberra University, so hopefully he knows what he's saying. We sometimes hear God saying something to us and we go, but I don't understand that. That doesn't make sense to me. With all due respect, there are lots of things in life that don't make sense to you. There are lots of things that are beyond your capacity and experience and education. It's not that they're wrong, it's just that they're beyond us. So when we start to hear God, he starts to say to us, be strong and very courageous because I'm going to take you places you've never been. Because I'm going to give you new strategies. Because I'm going to give you creative ideas. And you're going to say things like this, but I don't understand. But I'm scared. But what if I take the second step and the river doesn't stop? You see, they had to take the second step. When they took the second step to cross Jordan into the promised land, the river stopped. And they were able to walk forward. It had never happened before. One thing I love about God's plan and purpose is the thing that frustrates me incredibly, is that it never happens before. The Holy Spirit is the most creative person in the universe. He made all these fish that we never even see. He made all these birds. He made the snowflakes. No two are the same. He made our fingertips. All different. So he gets bored with doing the same thing over and over and over. So how do we know it's God that speaks to us? Firstly, he always speaks from his word and he always speaks in line with God's plans. Secondly, we rarely understand it. Thirdly, what happens is after we understand it and believe it's God, we then start to backtrack. So the minute that God speaks to us, we know it's God. And we're in the shower and we're going, be strong and of good courage. I've got this. God's with me. God's with me. We get out and we dry ourselves and maybe we tell someone around us, hey, you know, I just felt God speak to me. He said he's with me and I know it's going to be fantastic. And then about lunchtime, you go, that wasn't God. That was just me getting excited. Because the enemy only has one tactic. Has God said? Has God said? So the first thing that the enemy said to Adam and Eve in the garden was, has God really said you can't eat this? Did God really say that? So one thing I know is whenever God speaks to us about taking new ground or moving into new territories, we always have a time when we doubt it. And mostly we doubt it when we've got the first foot out and we've still got a way back. Be strong and of good courage because God is calling you to take the second step. The step beyond your capacity to understand. The step to commit to his plan and purpose. The step to where there is no going back. The step out of the comfort zone of what is familiar. The step into new territories. The step in obedience to what God wants you to do. You know, people, we in Alpha, we have lots of questions and lots of people, part of the concept is people can discuss all sorts of things. And so, you know, there was this one group and there was a person who was an atheist and a person who was a Hindu and a person who was Buddhist and the atheist was telling us about how there is no God. And, you know, I don't believe there's a God, and he was going on about how there's no God. And the Hindu and the Buddhist said, oh, you have to believe in God. And one of the guys said, you have to believe in God because I had a vision and Jesus appeared to me. So they're having this discussion about how Jesus must be real because he appeared in the dream. And I just sat back and let them go. Because people just need to go on a pathway to find God. But about 4 or 5 weeks later, this particular guy who was an atheist, he said to me, I think I've got enough in the box now. I'm obviously not a business person. So I go, okay, what box? Said, I don't have all my questions answered, but I think I've got enough in the box now to take the step. Okay, what step? Everybody's kind of going, he wants to give his life to God. Oh, okay. He wants to accept Jesus has been knocking on the door of his heart and he wants to invite him in. Oh, that step. Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, you should be able to do that. We don't get all our questions answered. I've been following God a long time now and I still have questions. But what happens is we come to a point at which we're ready to go, you know, I think maybe I need to invite God into my life. I think he is real. There's been some situations where he's been speaking to me. I've met people. You just know. But, you know, that second step of commitment, that's the tough one. Surrendering my will to his will. Inviting him. He's knocking on the door of my life. And I invite him to come in and be my saviour. Saviour's good. I'm happy with saviour. Someone who takes away this my sin. Someone who paid the price for my penalty. Love it. Love it. Okay, I can commit to saviour. But Lord, you've got to be kidding. I'm the generation that said I did it my way. I'm the generation that says I'm a self-made man. You know, I've got this business. I've got this. I've done this. I've done that. Committing to someone else being Lord in my life, to follow someone else's plan that I don't know and understand. Joshua was told, be strong and very courageous. Keep thinking about God's word. Meditate on it. Let God's word change your thinking. Let God's word change your future. Let God's word replace the tapes that you've been playing in your head, Joshua. You're not going to understand everything. You're not going to know beforehand. But if you follow me, I will be with you. If you take the second step, you're going to see things beyond what you ever imagined. If you take the second step, it's not going to be just for you, but it's for the million people that are following you. It's not going to be just for you, Joshua, but for those people, we're talking about him today. Because he took the second step. His life and story is influencing us because he stepped out rather than stayed back. I wonder if we could ask the band to come up. I'm going to ask you to just stand where you are. That band was so good today. Did you like them? I love the worship here. You have just such a great sense of community. You can stand up where you are, put your books down. You know, perhaps you don't have a church family. Well, this is a great place to call home. I don't know if you saw it, but when I came in, I loved on the bench where it said home, home, home. Bible says that God places the solitary in families. And this is a great family to be a part of. The reason we can be a part of a family is because when we come to know Jesus Christ, we're adopted into God's family. I wonder if you just close your eyes for a moment. I want you to think about where you are today. Perhaps you've been hearing about God a lot. Perhaps you've been talking. Maybe someone told you God exists because they had a dream. You've seen evidence in other people's lives. But I want to ask you today, where is Jesus? Bible says, Revelation 3:20, that he knocks on the door of our heart, asking if he can come in. And that door only has a handle on one side. And we're the only ones that can open that handle and invite Jesus Christ into our life to be our Savior, to pay the price for the sins that we have committed, and to be our Lord, to take charge of our life, to commit to following him, to commit to saying, God, I don't know everything that's going to happen. Lord Jesus, I don't know where you're going to take me, but I want to take the second step and commit. I want to be all in. I want to follow you. I want to know your plan and purpose. I want to find out why I was created. If you're at that place today and you know he's knocking on the door of your heart and you're just ready to let him in, while everybody's closing their eyes, I wonder if you just put your hand up and just wave at me and I want to pray with you right where you are. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to see your hand and I'm going to pray today that as he comes in, thank you. When you're ready, just put your hand down. How many other people say, yeah, that's me. Would you pray with me today? I need to take that second step. Thank you. When you're ready, put your hand down. How many people want to join these gentlemen? Say, yeah, I'm ready to take that step today. Thank you. When you're ready, put your hand down. How many other people say, yeah, I want to join these people, these three? I know you're breaking out of sweat right now. I know you're feeling a bit scared. Strong and courageous means stepping out even when we're afraid. We don't understand everything's ahead. We're taking the step to commit that he's the God who will keep his promises. If you'd like me to include you in this prayer, just put your hand up where you are. I'll see you. Thank you. Thank you. Father, we just thank you today for every precious person that raised their hand. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have been knocking on the door of our heart and we're just now inviting you in. Lord Jesus, we pray that you will come in, be Savior, be Lord. That we pray that you will forgive the past, that you will come and bring hope of a different future. And Lord Jesus, that everyone that's raised their hand will come to know you as Savior and Lord. Lord, we thank you today that your word to them is the same as to Joshua. Be strong and very courageous. For the Lord now is with you. For the Lord is with you. Lord, I just pray that you'll continue to guide them, to lead them, that they will listen to your voice, that they will learn your word and know your plans for their life. We just give you thanks for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when I made that decision, it was such a wonderful thing to be adopted into God's family. But one day what happened to me, I was in a church like this and I just felt that there was something more, that God just wanted, I just had a desire for something more and I didn't really know what to do. And so after the church service, I kind of went up and just talked to a pastor and they prayed for me. And I found myself just raising my hands and speaking in a language that I'd never learnt, just a language between God and me. And it was just the most amazing thing. You know, it was just like, wow, now I can have a relationship with God and speak in this language. And you know, Acts chapter 2 tells us that the disciples were really afraid of what the future would hold. And Jesus said, I'm going to send you someone who's going to be your comforter and your guide into all truth. And he's going to help you be strong and courageous. And his name's the Holy Spirit. And we're going to just in a moment invite the Holy Spirit to come. I don't know what he's going to want to do in your life today, but I know he wants to move in everyone's life. The most ancient prayer of the church, before Mass, before the liturgy, before the creed, was come Holy Spirit. And we're going to pray, come Holy Spirit. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes just because it blocks out distraction. I'm going to invite you to open your arms. There's nothing magical about that except it just opens us up to God. It's better than crossing our arms and say, God, get me if you have to. And we're going to pray, come Holy Spirit, and He's going to come. Come Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come. Just to come. Every person here, just invite you to come. You know, I just see a picture of someone here, and it's like you're on a diving block, and it's a diving block that you've been on before, but something's happened. And you haven't been up there for a while. I don't know if you had an accident or something. And you're up there and you're really scared to jump. And I just see the Holy Spirit coming. And just being your strength and comforter. That as you take that dive, you're not alone. I don't know if it's a literal diving board, but I just really have a sense today that as you dive into something, something that you've done before but not for a long time, the Holy Spirit's going to be with you. Have another picture. And there's this gentleman, and you're sitting at a boardroom table, and there's just like all of these papers around you. You know, so much for the paperless office. But there's all these papers around you, and you just kind of, you've got your head in your hands, and you're just saying, God, I just don't know what to do. I just don't know what to do. I just had a sense that it's almost like you've had this list of options and you've come to the end of your options and you're like, God, I don't know what to do. And I just believe today the Holy Spirit is encouraging you that if you trust Him, He's already doing the things that you cannot. Just believe that even this weekend, He's working behind the scenes. He's your advocate. He's your arbiter. He's the one that's going to come and bring divine mediation. And that as you step into the week ahead, there's going to be supernatural change. There's going to be things that you thought could never happen, and yet God is going to do it. And I just want to encourage you today, whatever that situation is, just start handing it over to God, saying, God, I just trust you. I just trust you. I just trust you. I just trust you. Trust you. You know, we're not here by accident today. Some of us, and we're just about to embark on a new season, and what's happening is kind of like you've been putting the one foot out, just the one foot. And I think the Holy Spirit is just encouraging you today to take the second step. I wonder if where you are, if you could get back as far to the chair behind you as you could, you know, just move back so you've got, it's a metaphoric step, okay? But if you want to get out in the aisle, you can. And we're just going to take one small step. Just take a step, whichever foot you feel comfortable with. You know, that's quite comfortable, that step, because it's easy to go back. But I want to pray today, and then I want to invite you, if you would like to, just to metaphorically take a second step. And then we're going to raise our hands and we're just going to worship God. We're going to say, God, we want to be people who take the next step. We want to be people who walk into what you have for us. We don't understand it. We're a little afraid of how it will be to cross a flooded river. We don't know what it's going to look like. But Lord, we want to be people of the second step. If that's you today, why don't you just take that second step and let's just worship Him. Why don't you just worship the God who is with you today? Yeah, why don't we just sing in a language we've never learned before? You can sing in English or a mother tongue. Let's just sing in the language of the Spirit. Bible says those who speak in an unknown language build themselves up. He won't never have spoken in that language. Bible says if we ask for fish, He won't give us a stone. So as we're just singing along, He's just going to come and give you a new language. Might be here today, might be as you're driving home, might be as you're lying in your bed. But if you'd like to receive that language from God today, just say, God, I'm open. Holy Spirit, we just thank You that You are the God who is with us, that You are Emmanuel, that You are more than enough. And Lord, today I pray for every person here as we've taken a second step. Lord, we hear Your word today. Be strong and of good courage, for the Lord is with you. Be strong and of good courage, for there is much land yet to be possessed. Be strong and of good courage for the people's sake. Be strong and of good courage. Don't let the word of the Lord depart from your mouth. Lord, today I pray that every one of us will step out to be strong and of good courage, and let the power of your word in our mouth bring breakthroughs. And Lord, I pray that every one of us will step into everything that you have for us. We just ask it now in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.